Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, 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 yes. The day in Kwan, Lebrahana Meskel, Aderesachu, yes, I. Greetings, and welcome the Dechna in goodness and health and salvation and safety to the light, Meskelu, the light of his cross, the finding. Here, the finding of the true cross here for this September 27th. Here, this Gregorian year, 2021, corresponding with the seventh day. Yeah, the seventh day of Sukkot. What's Sukkot? Booths, huts. Chag HaSukkot Sameach in the Hebrew. Yes, I happy. Happy, actually, with joyful. Sameach is like rejoicing. And then we say the Ashrei HaIsh. Happy is the man, often translated in the KJV as blessed, but happy is the man here for Sukkot, for tabernacles, for booths, for huts, in gathering, for pavilions. Here at the end of the year, the Hebrew greeting, Chag HaSukkot Sameach, a joyful command here for these days is to rejoice in that pavilion. As Psalm 27, chant. It is Psalm 27. You know, when we try to in Yahweh growing in grace, you know, and that knowledge, you know, learning by doing, a lot of things are revealed, you know, in the doing, right? In the doing that otherwise, I'm not going to say we would not know, but we get to know by doing. We get to know in the doing. Hold on for a moment. Right here. Let's just grab these two swords, one in the Hebrew and the other the KJV. Let's go to this psalm right here because we love to learn for ourselves and then even more love to share it with I and I brothers and sisters near and far, to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south. God bless what Jah has shown us, or how we've grown in the word, or get that experience, that experiential gnosis, that experiential knowledge. Yep, Psalm 27, ain't that something? Psalm 27, all right? Psalm 27 here in this season for Chag HaSukkot, for the Feast of Tabernacles, as it's called in translation, but literally it's hut. Now, the command speaks to when we are in the land, seen, sight. So the command is when we are in the land. Now, we are still here in this land that's not our own. Yeah, some of our brothers and sisters, and it's their land over here, but we know the land is not really our own in that sense right here. So the fuller foe of the Sukkot of building the huts and the, You know, one can do so. You know, if one have their own piece of land for their children and ones and would like to teach them that, you know, by learn by doing, yes, you know, there's no objection that we have or that we can find in the scriptures to doing that. But for us, we have to remember what the command says and, you know, to be wise in salvation, that it is when we enter into the land. Right, John commands us, you know, to build tabernacles, huts, booths. I love to say huts, you know what I mean? Because that's a vision that we get to see of that hidden empire, you know, that hidden empire of the Israelites of Ethiopia, right? We get to see them in the tikkuls and the circular huts right there. And then to learn that command right here for the seven of the seven appointed times of Yahuwah, of Jehovah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name, is to build huts when we enter into the land. So here, how do we observe it here? Ones have asked, and we have asked that as well. Well, Psalm 27 here, we have September 27th, All right, September 27th. In Kwan, Le Berhane, Meskalu, Adarasachu, welcome, welcome, welcome. That he has caused you to reach in this season, this time, the Berhan, the Berhane, the light of Meskalu, of his cross. Thus, reason for the season, the finding of the true cross. Here, Psalm 27, so 27, September 27th, here, Psalm 27, and this verse here in Psalm 27, right here, zooming in on the fifth verse, where it reads, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me, he shall hide I, in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He shall hide me, he shall hide I, he shall set I up on a rock." So here, this verse in Psalm 27 verse 5 is associated, and I associate from ancient times even to this Iowa and this time, with the reason for the season here, the reason for the season of tabernacles, the reason for the season of ingathering. So although many of us are not able to fulfill in a strange land, a foreign land, the fullness of the command that he commands I and I when we enter into the land, right, to be reminded and to build tabernacles and huts, we can do it in the Brit Chadasha sense, in the renewed covenant sense. You recall that word from Hebrews, a new and a living way that he has consecrated for I and I through the veil, right? That is, say, his flesh. So there's a new and a living way. So from the phi cycle to the metaphi cycle, right here, Psalm 27, Mizmor Kaf Zayin, Hebraically speaking. Now, check this out right here, Verse 5. Verse 5 here, this is from the Hebrew, from the Sefer Tehillim. Sefer, the book, the Sefer, or like cipher of the praises, of the Elilta, of the Hallelujah. The Elilta, that's the Elilta, the exaltation, the praises. Here it reads, "For he concealeth me in his pavilion in the day of evil." Coming from the Hebrew in the Sefer Tehillim, the same verse that in the KJV reads, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion." So here Hebraically, "Ki yitzapaneni b'sukol b'yom ra'ah." Here to break down the bill, "Ki for Yitzapaneni, point as Yitzapaneni in one dialect of the Hebrew, next dialect, Yitzapaneni, Kia Yitzapaneni, B'suko, for Yitzapaneni, hiding me, Yitzapaneni, like Zafanyao, that's the name, Zephaniah, the hidden of Yah, the hidden of Ayah. He shall hide ani. He shall hide I and I. In Sukkot. In his Sukkot. Sukkot is to say his Sukkah. Sukkah is a hut. Sukkah is a booth. Sukkah is a tabernacle, but Sukkah is also, accordingly, in translation here, pavilion. Pavilion. Now, we shared this before, but to share this again, some of the Sefer Tehillim notes right here. Here we're in Psalm 27, zooming in on verse 5 and bringing out the word pavilion. So we can also call this the feast, you know, of pavilions, 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 right? Here the footnote says, in X9 in Psalm 10 and 9. Let's go here. Let's go here on the ear and in the irid here for the Monday podcast in this 2021 season. Here this day, the 27th, corresponding with the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Huts, Feast of Pavilions, also corresponding with Mescal, the finding of the true cross. Here in Psalm 10 and 9, there's a reference here. Let's see what it says right here. Wow, this is a deep verse right here, 10 and 9. It says, now, the context, remember, we're just looking at, we're zooming on the word sukkah in the singular, and the plural is sukkot. Somebody say sukkot in the translation KJV. It's a place name, sukkot or booths. Here it says, he lies in wait in secret place as a lion in his lair. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him up into his net. So now, why are we going right here? We're going right here because in the Hebrew, let's get the verse right here. Ye'erov ba misatar be'aryeh, as a aryeh. Aryeh in the Hebrew is lion. Bisuko. So in the KJV, right, what does it have in the KJV? We're zooming in on words right here, growing in grace on words. We're trying to bring out the active sense of what the sukkah is. And even though we are still in this land that's not our own, and we know the command is that when we come into the land, that every year at this season, this time, we are to build tabernacle, booths, huts, pavilions, right? How can we fulfill it? How can we get a fullness out of it in spirit and in truth? That's the appointed place in John Grace. Here, Psalm 10 at verse 9, here's what it reads. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. Let's pause right there, because the key word we're looking at in the Hebrew connected with Psalm 27 for this 27th of September, finding of the true cross. The footnote here says that in Psalm 10, verse 9, it's used of a lion's lair or a lion's den. Wow, so a lion's den is a sukkah. So we have two examples right here in the Psalter. One example in Psalm 27, verse 5, where it says, for he concealeth me in his pavilion in the day of evil, coming from the Hebrew KJV says, for in the time of trouble, day of evil, evil, trouble, trouble, evil, bringing out the Hebrew word ra-ra, for him. In the time, the Iowa of trouble, in the time of rah-rah, in the rah-rah time, like times like these, he shall hide me in his pavilion. He shall hide me in his sukkah. His sukkah in the Hebrew bit, sukko. Sukkah is a hut. The Hebrew bit, sukko. Sukko, there's an all there, is referring to his. So here's what we're being hidden. Even in this evil day, evil time, for the diseases, the pestilences, the earthquakes, water running in the desert, rivers of water in Saudi Arabia. Wow. I mean, what time like this? Volcanoes, you know, war, all kinds of evil. But what are we commanded to do? We're commanded to dwell, to tabernacle. For in the time, the Iowa of trouble, of rah-rah, he shall hide I in his pavilion. So pavilion for a lion, right, for a lion, a physical lion, as we have in Psalm 10, verse 9, the same word in Hebrew is translated in the KJV as den, as den. So there's a breakdown in the bill. Sukkot, in the plain KJV translation is tabernacles in the plural sense, coming from Sukkot, coming from Sukkah, singular tabernacle. But that word tabernacle is a booth. That word tabernacle is a hut. Now we know that word tabernacle is a pavilion. Now we know that word tabernacle is a den, like a lion's den. Now, the positive verse that we focus on is Psalm 27, verse 5. But in a negative sense, based on the context of Psalm 10, that's not the psalm we're writing out with. We're just referring here to get a more better understanding and understanding and overstanding of what we're dealing with. What we're dealing with is a lair, a den, a pavilion, a hut, a tabernacle. And what does the word say in Psalm 27, verse 5? For in the time the eye of trouble, he shall hide I in his pavilion, in the sukkah of the Sukkot, in the huts. That's where we are, in that hut, metaphysically speaking. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide I. And what type of time? I would like this. Notice that this season, what's called the fall festival season, the third of the three pilgrim festivals here at the end of the year and New Year's, you know, Rosh Hashanah and Addis Ahmed here at this time of the year, right? Here, right? It says, he shall set I up on a rock. Upon a rock. Yeah, I think we're going to go there. Hold on for a moment. We're going to pull up the tune right here. But let's go through this right here before we go there. So this word pavilion, right? Pavilion, both the KJV, the King James Version, and here the Hebrew version, or the translation directly from the Hebrew, where we can reference the Hebrew, it has for the sukkah of the Sukkot, the hut, the tabernacle. Now, of course, one will say, but does it say tabernacle in the next verse? Well, let's read on. Here. Verse 5. Ki yitzapaneni, for he will hide ani, yitzapaneni, this Sukkot, in his Sukkot, in his sukkah, in his hut, his tabernacle, his booth, his den. He will hide ani in his den. KJV in his pavilion. The yom, in the yom, in the yawam, in the yom, in the day, ra'a, the day of evil, the day of ra'a, the day of ra'a, the day of trouble, troublesome times. Yas tireini, he will hide ani, yas tireini. He will hide I and I. Be Seter. You know, from the Yasa Tireni, he will hide Ani. Be Seter, in the Seter. From that word we get Mistatir. Mistatir. What does it sound like? Mystery. So even the word, that's what we say, that the biblical Greek, that's the Koine Greek, is actually a Hebrew-influenced Greek. It's not the regular Greek, but it's a kind of Hebrew Greek, and then we check that Greek, we even have a Coptic influence of it. But here, bringing out the word mystery in the sense of mistatir, satar is to hide or to secret something, right? Mistatir is like something that is secreted. Mystery, mistatir. So here, the second part of verse 5, where it says, Yas tereini be seter aholo, the tent. So what it's really saying is tent, but KJV brings it out like this. This is what we like grind on translation so we can really find out what it's really saying. In KJV, it says, in the secret of his tabernacle, the secret of aholo, the secret of aholo, some might pronounce as aholo, the ahal ohel, the tent. He hideth me in the covert. the covert, like when something is covert, oh, wow, covert, covert, COVID, COVID, wow, covert, right? From, so he hides eye from the COVID and the covert of his tent called Tabernacle by KJV. He lifteth me up on a rock, besor, on the sore, or the zor, besor, zor, besor, on the rock, ye romeini, he makes Sinai Rama, ye romeini, ani, he will cause I to ram, ye romeini, he will lift Sinai high, yes, I, and thus we come to the finding, the finding of the true cross, right? Of I and I, Lord and Savior, of I and I, boy. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, let's ride up. We're going to begin off right here, combination of Mezcal, the finding of the true cross, and the Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna Rabbah, the great salvation, the seventh day right here of the feast, the festival of tabernacles. Hear.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, Jah created the heaven and the earth. Then created man of his own likeness. Gave unto man wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Jah is my help and my strength, so shall I fear. He's a shield upon my right and my left hand, so whom shall I be afraid? Jah is my king, Jah is my light and my salvation, so whom shall I fear? He's my guide throughout this creation, so who shall I be afraid? Jah is my king, Jah is my guide in my resting and my rising, so who shall I fear? He's my guide when I step out and forward in, so who shall I be afraid? Jah is my king, Jah is my guide when Philistines come down upon me, so who shall I fear? He's my guide when my enemies come to me, so who shall I be afraid? Jah is my king, we
Yes, I welcome to the light of his cross, reaching to the light of his cross. Here, the Hoshana Rava, and here, in tune with the reason for the season, and also the psalm right here, upon this rock, yes, I, the rock, Jah solid rock.
Just a little rock, my faith looks up to thee, O Lama of Calvary. Now hear me when I pray, wash all my guilt away. My hope is on nothing less than your love and the righteousness. Soldiers of Jah cross, we must not suffer loss. On Jah solid rock I stand, oh yeah. All other ground is sinking sand, yes. On Jah solid rock I stand, yeah. Oh, oh. Righteousness alone, faultless before his throne. His army he shall lead until he's Lord indeed. Trust in his strength alone, yeah. The dare not trust your own. To us he is made known. Redeem us for his own. On just solid rock I stand. Oh yeah. And so he suffers in a Babylon.
Here, the seventh day, and the secret of his tabernacle, of his tent, he shall hide I and I. He shall set I and I up on a rock. Right here, 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 Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 5 here for this September 27, the 27, the finding of the true cross. Here, here, the seventh day. Of the feast, the festival, the great salvation, Hoshi'ana Rabbah, Hoshi'ana, save I and I, please, save I and I, please, now, set us up on the rock, yes, I, solid ground.
This one I sent it back, right there is the love to you, over in a penitentiary. Here to be and you're born tomorrow. Who know they are both you gonna tambourine for? A good friend we had, oh good friends we lost. Who know from the rock lock up in a penitentiary. On the rock. Around rings and sound burn down.
Rings
and sound burn down. Around when we were come from the yeah, yeah. Hebrews had a number 5446. Remember that, I tell you. Water man come around. Big slow for the sick. Oh, on the rock. Over there in penitentiary. On the rock. Hill rock never empty, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
Set I and I up on, up, up, on. A rock. Yes, I. Israel Vibration. Two Israel Vibration tunes. John Solid Rock. And the second tune, On the Rock. Here he is, seeking to bring out the fuller fullness here of the seventh day. Here coming to the seventh day of the feast that is also known as Tabernacles, Chag HaSukkot. The seventh day is also known as the Hoshana, Hoshana, like Hosanna, Hosanna, save I and I now. Hoshana Rabbah, the great salvation, right here, 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 the seventh day of the feast. And on the seventh day of the feast is what is known as the Hakafot. The Hakafot is basically the circling of the altar. On every day, according to the tribe, the altar is circled once. But here on the seventh day, seven times. Now, of course, Rastafari, heart and mind, we say rally round, rally, rally, rally round, Jatron. Coming forward, 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 more here on this doubling right here. The Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of the feast. The sevens are interesting. Here, the Gregorian year, September 27. Here, 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 Psalm 27. Zooming in on verse 5, right here, here, here. And this tune, Rock, the Rock. Gonna write us on Rock. Some rock tunes right here, roots right here. But rally round, here on the seventh day of Tabernacles, we circle the altar. As I and I say, we circle Jatron, as it were, seven times. Jah Mali, Rock of Ages, pray for I and I and you. Cycle sense, but the metaphysical sense, being in that tabernacle, in that secret place, as His Majesty said, drawing a circle around I and I. So here we have the finding of the true cross here in the season, and for this day right here. So on the solar calendar, the finding of the true cross right here in the true church, in the professing church, the EOTC of His Majesty, the true church and the professing Ethiopian Orthodox Ouaddadu Church, the church of He Who Have the key of Great King David, the church of Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, the only church of the seven churches, seven again, the seven churches in Issia called Asia, I guess we call it Asia Minor, right? In other words, Constantinople, Hail up, hail up, hail up, International Chaplain, Ethiopian Federation Incorporated, Ron Seymour. Yes, I, because this I and I reason, man, because here as I'm reasoning right here, I'm looking at, you know, the connection and the divine word, even with the finding of the true cross. Many refer to her as Saint Eleni or Saint Helen, Saint Helena. All right, and that relation with the real Constantine. Now, there's a lot of faux, like false information being circulated out there. Oh, Constantine, he started the Christianity. A lot of that's kind of mealy-mouthed stuff, but that's not according to the true church and his majesty. You need to study the Kibra Neges, the Kibra, or some say the Kibra Negas, firstly, foremostly. All right, you need to study the Kibra Neges. Need to also to fit in the guests. You need to really study to show yourself approved, because there's this other Constantine that's out there. They say he saw a cross in the sky and this and that and next. But this is not the testimony that we get from the Church of His Majesty. So check, check right there. So also to build on that as well, right, there's some reasonings to share, but we'd like to bring out from the Kevronic guests. Hopefully there's some areas that we recall that I think are ideal to share in this time. But just to put this on the record, that what we've heard, the hearsay and the heresy that's out there in social media about some other Constantine is not the same Constantine that is testified in the true church and the professing church, in Church of Brotherly Love, not testified in the Church of His Majesty, not testified in the Kevronic and the Guest, not testified in the Fifth and the Guest. So I don't know where they get this from. You know, but when I mention about the seven churches, and there's a six of the seven churches, and the six of the seven churches is known as the Church of Philadelphia, the connection there with the one who has the key of great King David, of King David. We cite that the revelation of Kenemawi Haile Selassie, his church from we could say from the B.C., right, from the B.C. days, or basically, we'll say from the Ethiopian eunuch in the A.D., the early A.D.s, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Ethiopian official, till 1975. That's the true church that we speak about in the professing church. When I look at their testimonies in the Amharic or the translations, you know, it's more right and accurate than a lot of the things that we hear after that. Remember, there was an apostasy in Ethiopia, there's a falling away, there's a rebellion against the King of Kings, right? But we pray that they repent and that Jah show them mercy. But for I and I, hear the Hoshana Rabbah. There's a touch on this right here, there's a look over here. Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh and the last day of Tabernacles, of Sukkot, called Hoshana Rabbah, or the Great Salvation. It's a climatic day of praise of Isis to Jah. Hova, that was also viewed by the ancient scholars and teachers of the Torah as a sort of a mini Yom HaKippurim, a mini Day of the Atonement. Why? Because it's a day on that the heavenly decrees made on the Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, that begins off the third of the three times in the year. So check it. There are seven feast festivals. They occur in three seasons. In the first season with Pesach, with Passover, there's three. Then we have the middle one, which is harvest or Shavuot, called Pentecost. Then here at the end of the year, beginning with the Day of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, also known as Rosh Hashanah, 10 days till Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, 5 days after that to Tabernacles, and right here at the seventh day, just to give one a kind of an overview right here. So this seventh day of the seventh, right, the seventh feast appointed time, Tabernacle, this seventh day is viewed as a mini Day of the Atonement, Yom HaKippurim, the day on which the heavenly decrees made on Rosh Hashanah, made on the Day of Trumpets, could be the first trumpet, might as well be the and sealed on Yom HaKippurim are actually sent out when Jah sent it out to be fulfilled. So in other words, at the beginning here in the third of the three times in the year, at the beginning we have the Day of Trumpets, the Yom Teruah, the Day of the Shouting, the Day of Trumpets. Lift up your voice like a trumpet, also known as Rosh Hashanah, or we refer to this as the New Year's, right? We can say the civil new year, so to speak, because the Holy New Year begins at the time of Passover. But here we're sealing up the holy calendar, because here we're sealing up the appointed feasts and festivals with this time and this feast and this festival. So with the Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, we have judgment. Judgment is rendered, right? Renditioned. It's rendered from Shemaima, from Shemaim, from the place of the celestial, the heavenly waters. Then on Yom HaKippurim, the Day of the Atonements. People say Yom Kippur, but we say Yom HaKippurim. That's what Torah said. And the difference is Yom Kippur is a day of a covering, the day of a atonement. But Scripture says Yom HaKippurim, the day of the atonements. That means for all of I and I, and for each of I and I, the coverings of I and I occurs in several different ways. Right, so you see the manifold, the mercies, the glory and his mercy. But on Yom HaKippurim, judgment is sealed. So from Yom Teruah, marking the beginning of the seventh month, all these sevens, the seventh month, right, when we count it from the holy calendar, right, roughly around the time of April, May, where we have Passover, Fasica, coming here to the seventh month. So in the seventh month, we seal up the holy calendar. That means those times that we are commanded to appear in the place. But we continue with our studies and growing in grace. So from Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, count 10 days, 10 days of dread. The Yamim Noraim, the days of dread, the Nora, right? And then we come to the Day of the Atonements. Judgment is sealed. Then we have the 5 days. We prepare for tabernacles. Then we have the 7 days. And here we come to the seventh day, the Hosanna Rabbah. I'm sure you heard the tunes, Hosanna. Hosanna, right? The Hosanna tune. But what does Hosanna mean? Well, listen. So the Hosanna Rabbah is the great salvation. So we have judgment being rendered on the first day of the seventh month with the trumpet blowing. Then we have 10 days to get our affairs in order. And then we have the Day of the Atonements, the day that we are commanded to afflict or humble our soul. And then on the seventh day of the seventh feast, Tabernacles, we have the Hosanna Rabbah, where judgment is delivered. Interesting that this Hosanna Rabbah corresponds with the finding of the true cross. So again, in Quran, welcome, Le Berhane, Meskelu, to the light of his cross. Right? This is Meskelu in the sense of Meskelu, his cross, the true cross, the Dechna Derasachu, in wellness and in safety. You know, you have reaching the light, the illumination, right, of his cross. So according to the ancient teaching, the Mishnah, in a document, an ancient document called Sukkah 4 and 5, Sukkah, tabernacle, hut, pavilion, during the Heikal period, during the temple period, right? And the temple period ended 70 AD. And if you know I and I history of who we be, what's the book by, what's the brother's name again? Just escapes me right now. Name of that book right here. What's the name of the book? Okay, it's going to come to eye. Let's just go on and we'll rewind or insert it. But during the temple period, right, during the temple period that ended in 70 AD. From Babylon to Timbuktu. Rudolf R. Windsor, thank you, Cha. Right, from Babylon to Timbuktu. Got to read it, got to study it right there. Because there you'll see what the Romans did. You know, after our people didn't do what we should have done, we did what we shouldn't have done to the Messiah. And therefore, Josh said he would do what he said he would do, even to Moses. He said he would do this if this would happen and that happened. And we got scattered, dispersed. Some of the dispersion went into Africa. Some met up with that kingdom, with the Israelites in Africa, namely Ethiopia. Others, they crossed the river. Once they crossed that river, the river Nile, they entered into other people's land, and there was another judgment of the western lands, the exile of the western lands. You'll find that in the book of Adam and Eve. Ethiopically, that's the book of Adam and Eve. And then from there, as Deuteronomy says, we will cross the Ethiopic Ocean, the Ethiopian Ocean. Now they change names to confuse us and call it the Southern Atlantic Ocean. And we came to the Caribbean, the Trans-Ethiopic Ocean, over here in the Americas and the Caribbean. And he said 400 years. And here, we're in what, the second year after 400 years. Let's get I Father's house and I business in I Father's house in order. So according to Mishnah, Sukkah 4 and 5, during the temple period, which ended in 70 AD, but before that, willow branches were placed around the altar, the Mizbeah, the altar. And a parade, so to speak, was made around the altar while your people recited Psalm 118, verse 25. And they recited, giving emphasis to this word sound, Hoshi'ana, 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 which means save I and I, Hoshi'ana, please. Save I and I, please. Please save I and we. So Psalm, this is where we have the connection with the Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, of the Feast of Ingathering. And here, I think this is when, during the coronation of His Majesty, we hear the priest chanting in mighty voices.
Hosanna. Blessed be the King of Israel. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Carrying palm branches and chanting in mighty volume. Blessed be the King of Israel. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord.
Woo! Yes, mightiful voices. Yes, see. Oh, wow. Mightiful voices. See the chanting there? That's what we said, the true church in the professing church. Today, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, they profess, but the true church, right, prior to 1975, from roughly, we could say, the time of the Ethiopian official, the Ethiopian eunuch, because they like to tell us, you know, Hosanna happened, but they try to make us forget that even in the scripture, we have the Ethiopian official who went to Jerusalem for to worship. Note that, check, right, who goes to Jerusalem to worship? Yes, I and I. So here, we have Hoshi'ana from Psalm 118, verse 25, full of full. Anna, Yahuwah, Hoshi'ana, Anna, Yahuwah, Hatzalichana, Baruch haba, b'shem Yahuwah, Berak nukem. Mi Beit Yahuwah, bringing out the sense, please, Anna, Yahuwah, Jehovah, Hoshi'ana, save I and I now, Anna, Yahuwah, Hoshi'ana, Please, Jehovah, save I and I. Give I and I Yeshua Hoshiana. Hoshiana. Save I and I now. Ana Yahuwah Hatzalicha Na. Please, oh Jehovah, prosper. Prosper us. Prosper I and I now. Ana Yahuwah Hatzalicha Hatzalicha. Hatliha, prosperity, prosper. Hatliha, na, Yahuwah. Hatliha, na. Second part of the verse. Here we have verse 25 and 26. Baruch haba, Baruch, blessed, haba, the one who comes. In the ancient pointing, modern Hebrew, they might say Baruch hava, but ancient pointing, Baruch haba. B'Shem, in the Shem, in the name, Yahuwah, of he who be, who he be. Berakenu, I and I bless. Berakenu, I and I bless Kem, y'all. Berakenu, Kem, I and I bless you all. Me, bait. Me from Beit, from the house, Yahuwah, of Jehovah. Ana, Yahuwah, Hoshiana. Ana, Yahuwah, Hatzalichana. Baruch haba b'shem Yahuwah. Berakenukem mi Beit Yahuwah. Let's bring this out as well right here, here, here. Because so important in this time of the year that we try to get a good groundation, a good understanding, and see how all things work together for John Glory. Here, here, here. Let's just bring out this part here. This is from the Sefer Tehillim, or this part of the psalm right here, here, here. So we have verse 25 and verse 26. So here, the save now, Hoshiana. Hoshiana, in its contracted form, Hoshana. So you might hear someone say Hoshana. Hoshana is the contracted form of the more ancient Hoshia. Hoshiana. Hoshiana, contracted, Hoshana. It appears in the name given to the seventh day of tabernacles, Hoshana Rabba. Now here, the sense of now, it equals we pray the eye, we beseech the eye, we beg the eye. Make I and I to prosper. Make I and I to prosper. The phrase, it occurs in Nehemiah and Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, the prayer, it's a prayer right here. This chant, this word sound is a prayer, is for continued support and prosperity to Jah people in the future. So when we say shalom, shalom is not just a word that has no meaning to I and I. Shalom is in the trifold sense, because man is a trinity made in the image and after likeness of he who be, who he be. So it's shalom in I and I spirit. Shalom and I in psyche and I soul. Shalom and I in body. Shalom and I in health. Shalom and I in wealth. So thus we also pray to prosper I and I now. All right? Prosperity in Yahweh is a good thing. Here, 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 where it says, blessed be he that cometh in the name of Jehovah. We, I and I, bless you all, bless y'all. From the house, or out of the house, in the sense of from the house, me bait Yahuwah. Blessed be he. This part here of the word sound is what was spoken by HaKohanim, the priests, right? After the people would say the first part. So in other words, the people would say, Ana Yahuwah, Hoshiana, Ana Yahuwah, Hatzlihana. And then the priests would respond, Baruch haba b'shem Yahuwah, berakenukem mi beit Yahuwah. The priest would respond, we, I and I, bless you from the house. Because the priest's function, keep it Levitical, Rastafari, Levites, keep it Levitical, would bless the people because they represent those who service Jah's way from the house of Jah, the Beit Rastafari. spoken by the priest to each member of the procession. So the procession is coming forward, 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 right here, here, here. We have the procession coming forward. So to each member of the procession and to all the ones and ones, the priest would Barakanu Kem, Barakanu Kem, Barakanu Kem, Barakanu Kem, me bait to Yahuwah, Barakanu Kem, Baruch Haba, B'Shem Yahuwah. In other words, blessed be the he who comes. So all of us coming forward in the name of Jehovah are the ones who are blessed. Yovas, it's also speaking of in the prophetic sense of Moshiach coming to his house, but we coming to Moshiach's house, we also are coming in the name of Jehovah. So the priest to the comers to Jah's house would respond, Barakanu Kem, Mi Beit Yahuwah, because they are the ones who would be officiating in the house during the pilgrim time, and the people will be making the tribe, aliyah up to Zion, and then furthermore to Yerushalayim and to the temple. In the name of Jehovah, right, in the name of Jehovah, blessed be he. And there's the scripture, Deuteronomy 21 and 5, just to bring out that sense of it right there, there, there. A little more, a little more. We're going to ride up, ride up, ride up, ride up. So here the Hosanna, Hosanna, as one would say, a Hosanna. In the Brit Hadasha, in the New Covenant scripture, the New Testament, what does it record? Here's a connection, the New Testament. Now, it has helped I to understand, you know, how the New Testament, when properly viewed from the proper perspective, not from a WASP Christianity or counterfeit Christianity or people who came to the Christ way with some insanity, but, you know, when they cut off the Old Testament, then the New Testament not going to make any sense. And that's why it doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of ones. But now we put in the proper perspective in the New Covenant or the New Testament, it records that it was on the last day. The New Testament, what's called the New Testament scripture, it records that it was on the last day of Sukkot, of Tabernacles. And what was that last day called? It was called the Great Day, the Great Day, the last day. Here, here, just give me one moment, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers. I'm Barakanu Kem, Mi Beta Yahuwah. Yes, I, Rastafari. Let's bring this up right here, here, here. St. John's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 37 to 38. Here, here, here. Now, here we look at the Scofield Study Bible, a basic stepping stone for I and I discipleship studies here. It has the superscription, the great prophecy concerning the Ruach HaKadosh, or the Holy Spirit, the Ila Irit, for power. Verse 37, in the last day, the great day of the feast. All right, we're at verse 37 of John chapter 7, all these sevens. Here, going to the top of the chapter, the head of the chapter, Yeshua was urged to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, to this very feast right here in that time and that hour right there, right? So that, this is the connection, right, with the Feast of Tabernacles. Once again, scroll forward to verse 37. In the last day, that great day of Ha-Hag, of the Hag, of the feast, the festival, Yeshua stood and cried. He didn't cry in the sense of boo-hoo-hoo. He stood and shouted out, because one form of cry in the translation. Well, whenever you see in the Bible and it says, like, cry, right, it means, like, to shout out, like, to lift up your voice. When you want to see the other sort of cry we call cry today, that's weep. He wept or weep. That's the other kind of cry here. It means that he stood up and he raised up his voice. He lifted up his voice like a trumpet, saying, if any man thirst, make him come to I and drink. He that believeth on I, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, where's the water come in? What's that connection with the water? Well, Tabernacles is also a water feast, a water festival. There's what's known as the water libation ceremony. Did you know that the Feast of Tabernacles from ancient times straight through to the Brit Chadasha, the Adis Kidan, the New Testament, there was a water libation, a drawing of water and a pouring of water ceremony. So when Yeshua said this, the response of the Pharisees and the people are the way it is because now he's taking what is already the established foundation and he is taking it to another height. He's building. He's building on the foundation. The early sages had taught that it was at the Feast of Tabernacles called Sukkot in the Hebrew. Judgment is made concerning the waters. Again, it's at the Feast of Tabernacle that judgment is made concerning the waters. Interesting, because around this time, the rains, you know, the rains is like more rainy, right? Referring to the rain needed for the forthcoming, coming forward, the planting season. So already at the seventh feast, we're already looking a little more than five, almost six moons, 6 months, about 5 or so months to Passover, to Pesach, to Fasica, and to the rainy season and to the planting season coming forward. The historian Josephus, he calls a ceremonial drawing of the waters from the pool of Siloam, of Siloam. In the scripture, there's a place called the pool of Siloam, and there's a whole narrative right there. What Josephus says, he says the very sacred close of the year. This is a very sacred, a holy close, a sealing up of the year. Since the amount of rainfall over the next few months, you know when it says in season and out of season, in season, like over the past 7 moons, 7 months with the 7 feasts of Jehovah, now here sealing it up, right? Here out of season, in the next few months, would directly impact the rainfall, the harvest in the spring. And the spring coming forward is where the ecclesiastical, the Hebrew, the churchical year begins up again, starts up again. Like 2 weeks after the beginning of it, we have Pesach Fasica. Therefore, the need for rain, and also in our liturgy, Hebraically, Judaically, we have special prayers for rain in due season and due time. We don't just pray for something. We pray for it in the context that it is best and blessed. Now, don't just pray for rain. Pray for rain in due season and in due time. The need for rain over the winter moons in Yisrael, in that 1040 region of the world, Israel, Ethiopia, it was an ongoing need. Why? For the welfare, for the shalom of the people, even Jah people. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, what does it read? It says, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Come again. With joy. This is a season we're commanded to rejoice. Even though we're in our tabernacle and it might be a time of trouble, he hides us in his pavilion, in his sukkah, in his den, in the tabernacle. So with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Adonenu, Yeshua, our master, the grand master, Yeshua, he once encountered a woman who had come to draw water from a well. What did she say? Saw the Samaritan woman. She said, you know, what did he say to her? Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. Likewise, Robeinu, I and I Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbi, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Grand Master, taught I and I earlier in his ministry in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed, and this blessed here, like when we mentioned, there's KJV translate blessed, but there's one Baruch bless, and then there's another bless, well, there's another word that translates blessed that means happy, Ashrei, like the Beatitude sense. This is the Beatitude. So this is really happy. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He didn't say happy are people who are just hungry and thirsty and starving. No. Overstanding in the higher heights. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Just as the people, John people, understood they needed, right? They needed physical five-cycle rain to sustain their physical, their five-cycle lives and liberty. So Adonai Yeshua, Adonai Grand Master Yeshua HaMoshiach, he pointed to himself as the source of the iritical rain, the spiritual rain. We could say the metaphysical cycle, the metaphysical rain, or what the scripture calls the living water, the flowing waters, not the stagnant water, the flowing waters that would sustain their spiritual, Adonai, spiritual lives and liberty. The rain of Baraka, the rain of blessing then, refers to the refreshing power of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, the Menfis Kedush, the Isla Irit, that would become an inner source of life and liberty for those who yay and amen. Namin, namen. Namin in the Hebrew, and the good is actually in Naminalin in the Amharic, but namen, right, is the good is, and also the Hebrew sense means I and I amen, I and I admit as truth. Therefore, the refreshing power of the Isla Irit, the Holy Spirit, would and does become an inner source of life and liberty for those and those of I, and those who believe. As Yeshua Adonai said, out of his inmost being, remember first KJV says belly, but if you start to look at the innermost of the innocence, his inmost being will flow rivers of flowing, of living, of running water. Some have thought that this refers to the miracle and the miraculous waters that were given in the desert. Remember the desert, the Midbar, the Israelites? Right? We've gone through that in fulfilling the Torah readings, the five books, and in the fourth book, that's called Numbers in English. In the Hebrew, it's called Bamidbar. Bamidbar means in the desert, in the wilderness. In Psalm 114, right? In Psalm 114, we have this right here. Oh, that's coming forward. But each soul will be a rock smitten in the thirsty land from which crystal rivers of life-giving grace shall flow. So there's the Hallel, the Hallelujah, the Elilta, the Elil is the Hallel, right? Check, the Elil is the Hallel. So when we hear the Elilta amongst the Israelites and the faithful Ethiopians, that is an expression of the ancient Hallel or the Hallelujah. To say Hallelujah is to say all of y'all to Yah, to he who be, who he be, to he who be. This is recited. We have some psalms that are called Hallel or praise, Isis, Elilta, chants that are recited during the festival. And one of them in Psalm 114, verse 8, it has this verse where it says, he turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of waters. So if Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of the seventh feast in the seventh month, represents judgment delivered, then Adonainu, Adonai Master, the Grand Master, Yeshua, he was teaching that HaRuach, the Irit of Hailahim, of the true good, the true God, of the power, would deliver the good verdict, a good verdict for I, and true freeness for I, that Moshiach secured for I, through his sacrifice. Right, through his swallowing up death, he swallowed up death with his life and liberty. and we receive that to do as he who be who he be, as our atonement before the power of the true good, the true God. So hear, brothers and sisters and brothers, we're going to segue right here, just a little more of a build, right, bringing out a build right here on the reason for the season, coming forward also with the finding of the true cross from the more faithful testimonies of his majesty, like the cover of Neges, like the Fita Neges. But here, to just bring out this theme here, we have Sister Chloe Nazanian, right? Was this Rock Water? This Rock Water tune right here, Beautiful Eyes, is Chloe Nazanian right here, Rock Water, Rock Upon the Rock.
Thy voices strike the rock, for sovereign's not just rock, it's stone and panel pot, on the feet from mountaintops, not to rain, to dry to rain, I give life to I the same, as it God and Jah reside, pushing from the end of my strength to flow, and you will grow, only feel if you really know, meditation, feed yourself, as it's all like bird magnets, so man is scattered like ashes, angel bread, keep my strong fit, where the cry of fallen flesh, either dead and become death, this love for sight and goes for breath, not just for fall to the ground, use your words and crave no sound, keep system basic found, vitality is in his verbs, ordinances I observe, strength and praises he deserves, like a book he reads your nerves, consecrated Nazarite, feeding power like a tree sunlight. Oh, take a breath, the rope was tight. Oh, we got a fire and beyond the trod. There they defy the army of the living God. Jah clear the road, Jah take my load. Jah lights the streets tonight and then he takes us home. Like Moses strike the rock, rush the rest and not just drop, hit the stone and channel pop, when to feel from mountain top, no to rain, too dry to rain, I'll bring life to I the same, there's a God in Jah resides, rushing from the inner mind, drink the flow and you will grow, only feel if you really know. Meditate and feed yourself and gather thought like birds make nests. Mine is scattered like ashes. Angel bread keep by strong fish. Where the cry of fallen fish eat the dead and become dead. It goes for sight and breath, not just for fall to the ground. Each hour no bad sound crave. King's system got a basic pound. Vitality of verbs, ordinances I observe. Thanks and praises he deserves. Like a book, he reads your nerves, consecrated Nazarite, eating power like sunlight, take off chain and soul is light, keep a breath, that rope is tight. Oh, we got the fire and we on the trot. Yeah, they defy the army of the living God. Jah clear the road. Jah holds my load. Jah lights the streets at night and he has take a home.
Yes, yes, yes. Chloe Nazanian, Rock Water. Right here. Now, for this day right here. The main thing is what's known as the Hakafot, and that's the circling of the altar. And on each of the days, according to the tribe and the temple period, every day of the, you could say the 7 days, or the 6 days, one time the people will circle around the altar. But on this, the seventh day, there would be at least seven times around the altar. And so that circling the altar remind I of the Rastafari roots, you know. And what do we say? We say rally round, Jah Throne. So here. To the rally, the message of the rally around Jah Throne, right here for the Hakafot, circling the throne. this is culture right here, here. You hear what I'm saying? Children of who? Children of Israel. Yes, I, Rastafari. To the relix there, the culture tune, Rally Round, Jatron. He said, one and all, Chabarim. He said, Chabarim right there. Yes, I, Chabarim. Fellows, I associates, friends. Yes, I. Here, the Hoshana Rabbah service corresponding here. This is like a really ideal year. We have the solar, the Ethiopian, we say the true church, the solar calendar, right? And then we have the lunar, the wheel and the wheel. And it's often interesting how, you know, how they line up from year to year in different seasons. Sometimes they might be a little bit distant by 7 to maybe 11 or so days, a few times longer. But here we have them like the X. It's like the crosshairs is aligned. You know, like in the movies when, you know, they are, you know, with the crosshairs and they're trying to get, you know, like get it lined up and then it lines up. This is that sort of a year. This is that sort of a time. This is that sort of a season. So here during the Hoshana Rabbah service, right, on the seventh day of the seventh feast in the seventh month, many choose to wear white, you know, wearing white, you know, that garment of righteousness we see in the hidden empire once revealed, Ethiopia. We see that Israelite, that pattern right there. So some other Yehudis and also in the tribe tradition choose to wear white, the white kittel, similar to what is worn on the Yom Kippurim, the Day of the Atonement. During the morning prayers, the Shacharit, in almost every congregation, the leader will wear, you know, wear that white, since on the Yom HaKippurim, it's a day of judgment, but also at this time as well. Remember the connection in Revelation when it says these are robed in white garments, and it connects that with righteousness. Now, in the Knesset, what's known as the Knesset or the gathering together, in the Greek, that sound word sound is sina, seen, together, agaga, to gather together, right? In the gathering, the paroket is the curtain, right? The curtain between the holy place and the holy of holies, there was to be a paroket. The paroket is like a curtain that separates the holy, right, from the holy of holies. So the paroket, that is a curtain in on the ark, on the aron, the curtain on the table, it remains also white, and there are extra lights. Often people use candles, and many of these candles would have remained over from the Day of the Atonement, and these are lit, so we keep it lit. Light up. So here with the theme, Hebraically, Judaically, of circling right around the sanctuary, it brings out in the spirit and the truth of the call of Rastafari, the theme of rallying around Jatron. So seven times around the sanctuary. During the previous 6 days, before we come to this, the seventh day, the previous 6 days of Tabernacles of Sukkot, what's known as the bouquet, there's a bouquet that is made, it's called the lulav, is shaken during the Hallel, during the praise, the Isaiah song, sung right after the standing prayer, known as the Amidah. Amidah literally means the standing. You know, can he stand in the judgment? You know, interesting, that theme of standing, the standing prayer, right, in the morning service, the dawning, the shaharit, the morning service, as well as during the Hoshana, the Hoshiana, a hymn that begins with Hoshana, Hoshana, save I and I, please, Jah, save I and I. This is sung during the service. Now, HaTorah, the Torah, is taken from the Ark, Hebraically, Judaically. So we know that Ethiopia, we've heard it said, and we can know this for true, that there's what they call Tabot worship. Now, before, lest ones misunderstand English, it's not worshiping the Tabot. It's not, we don't worship the Tabot Judaically or even in the Orthodox way, but the Tabot. Why is the ark important? Is it because it's a box overlaid with gold? It's a three-in-one box. The Trinity being exemplified is gold on the outside, right? It's also a gold box overlaid over wood. The wood is a box, and it's gold on the inside. Is it because of the gold? No. It's because of what Jah says in his word, in the Torah, according to that pattern that he showed to Moses. And he said, take heed to the pattern that I show you. So what was that pattern? It was a pattern for true worship, right? It was a true worship. What's interesting, I shared this with a brother in recently, and I'll share this right here. You ever saw a praise and worship service, and they say a lot of fugazi, a lot of fancy things. But in Israel, and according to Yahweh, we could pray and we could praise wherever. You could pray and praise, you know, on your bed, you could pray and praise, but to worship, right, the worship took place in the holy place. That prostration, that, you know, that concept of bowing down took place in the holy place. Why? Because if I just bow down to a wall right here, what am I worshiping? The wall? When John says it's before the ark, why before the ark? Why before the ark? This is why I said that any church, right, say in Ethiopia that didn't have an ark was considered almost like deconsecrated. Well, that basically came from the old way of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and it's still preserved more or less Judaically, that any synagogue or Hebrew church that did not have an ark was considered to be just a building. What's the ark? The ark is the place where Josh says, according to his word, he says, there I will meet with you. Where? Above the mercy seat and between the cherubim, between the kerubim. What's interesting is that whenever the priest, namely the high priest in the Old Testament times, whenever the priest would come in to converse, or when Moses did as well, that's what many conversations after Sinai took place, whenever he would converse with Jehovah, and when one will go in, they always brought Ishans. Just a little interesting, some of the themes here. You know, because we're called, many of I and I are called, chosen and faithful, Rastafari, and these themes, we talk about Ishans and bunning the Ishans. We bun the Ishans. We don't really smoke. Tell the Gentiles, we don't really smoke. No, the Ishans, it smokes. What do? We bun it, right? And we smell the sweet fragrance that we bring before Jah, right, in I and I prayers and praise. But it's between the cherubim and above the mercy seat, that's above the Ark of the Covenant, where Jah says, there will I speak, there I will commune. This is why in the later books like Solomon, the books like Kings with Solomon, it speaks of the oracle. Oracle, from the word oral, word, mouth, right, the oracle, because there, that small, still voice would speak with the priest, right, just to bring out that sense of awe, so we're not just, you know, being like, you know, the silly counterfeit Christians of other denomination where they spookify the ark in some way, like it's, you know, like we're worshiping a box, you know, it's like the Philistines had stolen that. Right, they stole the ark at one time. I heard somebody of mine chant that the ark can never be, you know, taken. Well, actually, the ark was taken. You know what I mean? You know, if the people don't do right, things happen. That's what Jah says. You do right, he bless. You don't do right and don't repent, well, that's what you get. Right? But the Philistines had stole the ark. But what I found was interesting is when the Philistines had stole the ark, the Philistines, Palestinians, I don't know. Right? When they had stole the ark, right, they said something interesting in the script. They said, we have like stolen the God of Israel. They thought that God was in the box. You know what I mean? Think about that for a moment. Because they knew that the children of Israel commune with the God of Israel, right, via that particular box. Now, in the latter sense of it, in the worship of the Yehudi that continued to the New Testament times, and where even the Orthodox Church of Ethiopia and certain other properly worshiping churches had got into the tradition, is that the Ark, for example, in the synagogue, what is the Ark? The Ark is the place on the, usually like on the eastern, right? Well, actually, it should be on the western wall, because another interesting thing. You know, in the worship within the tabernacle, people say, you see, we look to the east for the coming of Messiah, but there's not really a direction to pray as with, you know, the Muslims and others. There's a lot of misunderstanding of the Hebrew things that we hear these things in some of the other Abrahamic faiths, right? Because actually the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle, which direction was it in? The Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, was actually in the western part of the tabernacle. And we always enter into the tabernacle space as a temple space from the eastern gate. So if we are in proper worship in the tabernacle, the holy courtyard, we are facing the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark is in the direction of the west. Just a little point there. I want I and I to consider this carefully. That's why there's a psalm that says promotion don't come from the east or the west. You know, it's not about those, we got to worship this way because this building was over there. No. According to the pattern, the ark was located in the west. But now in the Hebrew church, often called the synagogue from the Greek, but the Knesset in the Hebrew, the ark is a place where the Torah scrolls, where the scrolls were kept. So when we would take out from the ark, we would take the scrolls of scripture from the ark. You know what I mean? Ideally speaking, it should be in the western direction. So we don't turn to the east to pray. I don't know where people got that from. They couldn't have got that from the scripture. You know what I mean? They really couldn't have got that from the scripture, because if you look at the scripture, it tells you in the scripture that when the tabernacle was laid down, right, the pattern of it, and it was set up, whenever we would enter into the tabernacle space, we enter through the eastern gate. That's why I said that when it said look to the east, it was saying look to the east for Messiah to come, right? He will come through the eastern gate into his temple, into his tabernacle, right? But when we are worshiping in the tabernacle, we are facing the west, which is very interesting. That's why he says later on that the folly priests in Ezekiel, he said they were folly priests, right? Priests that brought an abomination, right? And they turned their back on him because they were turning in the direction of the rising sun. They were worshiping the sun, right? And they turned their backs to the Ark of the Covenant that's facing in the west. Just a little point there. Anyway, on the seventh day, this day, or at least corresponding with this time here, the Torah is taken from the Ark to the place ideally on the western wall where the Torah scrolls were kept, right, called the Ark, because in the Ark was the Torah, his direction, instruction. The Torah is taken from the Ark and is set on the Bema. What is the Bema? The Bema is the table, like the Shulchan, the table for the Torah reading. And the aggregation, the congregation circles it once in a processional that's called the Hakafa. The Hakafa to circle. The Hakafa, as David says in the psalm, and there I will circle, I will compass, I think he's using the KJV, I will compass thine altar, compass, like a compass to go around your altar, right? So on each of the days, each of the 6 days, the aggregation will circle, right, around the Shulchan, the table where the Torah scroll is, symbolic of the altar once, while shaking their lulavot, the lulavot. The lulavot is like the bouquets that are brought forward, right? Also carrying the citron type of fruit, also known as the etrogim. But on Hoshana Rabbah, on the seventh day of the seventh feast, in the seventh month, however, instead of one Hoshana, as on the 6 days, coming to the seventh day, seven Hoshanot are recited. So instead of saying it one time and going around, now seven times, right? And seven Hakafot, seven circlings, right, are made around the sanctuary, around the Isla place. Thus, rally round Jatron, right? Because you have to remember the ark symbolically is a throne. Normally, all the Torah scrolls are taken from the ark, are taken from the place in the Hebrew church where all the scrolls are kept. The place where the scrolls are kept is called the ark. That's why sometimes even in Ethiopia, you will see when they're carrying the symbolic, right? When they're carrying the symbolic ark, it looks like a book. Because actually, symbolically, it's the same principle here, right? Principle over personality, principle. Normally, all the Torah scrolls are taken from Ha'aron, the Aaron, not Aaron the man, that's Ahiron. Ahiron is Aaron the man. Aaron with no hey, Ahiron, man, Aaron, ark, and put on the Bema, while the sevenfold processional takes place. While seven times, rallying round seven times. But this was an interesting theme right here, Habareem, to really focus on, to say that even that idea amongst Ionized Rastafari from the elders of rallying round Jatron and circling Jatron, it is from ancient times, according to the spirit and the truth. So here, look at Hoshana here, justice, sound system right here, I and I. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Never give up, you see. Never give up. Fight the fight, walk the walk, talk the talk, you see. Try and we fail, and we try and we fail. But what? One day we're going to conquer. Because Jah never fail yet. And we still have light, and we still have fight the fight. Confident in the victory. Good over evil. Yeah.
Call wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of peace, light of this world, elect of God, power of the Trinity, Abba Jah, we love thee. Shall bless this new mankind. Oh God, bless.
Righteousness, we say. Every ghetto youth, stand up and play a part. Stand up for something, or you're gonna fall for anything. Listen for me. Righteousness, we say.
Yes, yes, yes. Hoshana again.
Carrying palm branches and chanting in mighty volume.
Hosanna, blessed be the King of Israel. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord.
Yes, 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 yes. So right here, let's get an overview of Meshkel. So now the Hoshana Rabba here in the season, corresponding to the seventh day of the seventh feast, appointed feast of Jehovah, the Xiavihir,
Lotu Sibhat, to him be the praise. In the seventh month, the seventh moon. So here, let's get a basic overview of mezcal. What is mezcal? So here, we're going to refer to just a little write-up here on the wiki page, basic, and to illuminate and elaborate where necessary, Ja willing. So here, mezcal. Mezcal is called a Christian holiday. I would say it's called an original Christian holy day. In the Ethiopian Orthodox, the Tewahedo Church, and the Eritrean Orthodox churches, what does it commemorate? What does it like bring to our remembrance? Is like commemorating the discovery of the true cross by the Roman Empress Helena, Saint Helena, in the 4th century. Let's pause right here for a moment, because one might hear Roman. You know, and we bun Rome. And you see, let's put this in perspective right here. There's a lot of rumors out there and a lot of videos out there, conspiracy videos and ones from a lot of questionable people. And sometimes we just pick up a lot of things and we don't really check our own facts and records or the teaching of His Majesty. We run with it. Like there's a lot of things that say Constantine. You know, Constantine, he created Christianity and he changed this and did blah, 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 blah. But then when I start to look at the manuscripts, the Ethiopian manuscripts, the ancient manuscripts, many of them translated to English and give thanks to His Majesty and the other faithful, we find that the Constantine that we find in the teaching of His Majesty from the true church and the professing church is a different Constantine. For example, did you know there were two Romes? Just pause on that. Did you know there were two Romes? Here's one way you know that a lot of this stuff that is out there talking about Constantine, I don't know who Constantine this is. This is not the same Constantine that the ancient Ethiopian, the other Oriental sister churches were witnesses to. So they're giving a false narrative out there. Because see, in their version of Constantine, who they say created Christianity and he did this and that and a whole bunch of other things, this Constantine that they talk about, they always say, well, it was Rome. And they always talk about Rome, Italy. So the Constantine of Rome, Italy is not the Constantine of history, of our story of the truth. Because there was two Romes. The Rome that we're speaking about is what's called Asia Minor. In the Bible, when you talk about the seven churches in Asia, it's actually called Asia Minor. Not talking about Asia Major. It's not talking about like Japan and China and Korea, North Korea, South Korea, Indonesia. Not talking about that Asia. That's Asia Major. It's about Asia Minor. Asia Minor today is called Turkey. It's called Turkey. Later on, well, before that, it was called Constantinople. Before that, it was known as Byzantium. Byzantium. Byzantium was what's known as the second, right, the second Rome. And then before that, this is where the Apostle Paul and others had ministered the true teachings and the true doctrine in that region of the world. It had nothing to do with Rome, Italy. It was not Rome, Italy. So that's the first error that they make in their false Constantine narratives, right? And in fact, even in the statue of the head, that's something that Mussolini has found. These are all fake artifacts that they found and everything. There's a video, Lion of Judas, black and white, and the beginning of the video, you see a bunch of Italians and Romans, or Italians, and they're part of fascist things, a propaganda film. They're like digging up stuff, right? And they're digging up all this kind of, quote, Roman archaeology and everything. That's all fake right there, right? And if you watch the video, you'll see that right after that, they went and attacked Ethiopia. Right. So that's not the Constantine of history. So when it says here the true cross that was discovered by the Roman Empress Helena, this was a, for lack of a better word, we could say a black woman. So was Constantine. He was not that big head, white, Roman, European, Southern European looking man that they make him out to be. He was from a different place. I'm not going to get into it too much right here because of the time right here, here, here. We got 5 minutes, y'all, those in the live stream right here, here, here. You know, calling, calling, calling. Here we began on the Mondays of half an hour later than usual, right? So we have about 5 minutes or so. But let's just go through an overview here, and then we're going to bring a couple of highlights from the Kibbutz and the guests to put things in historical perspective. So we have to be careful about who we bun based on Western Gentile propaganda. Check, check. Now, Mezcal, it occurs on the 17th of the first of the Ethiopian months, known as Meskerem, the 17th day of the month, known as Meskerem. In the Ethiopian calendar, that will correspond to the 27th of September, according to the Gregorian calendar, or on the 28th, when we have a leap year. I think coming forward is a leap year, right? But here, the 27th. Mezcal, right? Mezcal, spelled virus. Some might say Moscow. Moscow was an old way of looking at it, right, from the Western, you know, Gentile transliteration. But Mezcal, the cross. There are various ways to transliterate from the Gutters to the Latin script. The Latin script is the English letters that we use. It's actually Latin. Check. It's not English. It's actually Latin. Like the Roman numbers, that's what it's Roman numbers, because it's Latin, right? For Mezcal, the cross. Let's get an overview right here. The festival is known as the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. And other Orthodox or Catholic or even some Protestant churches. What's interesting is when we look in the scripts and everything, we know the Catholic or the Roman church is the church of Pergamon. When we talk about the seven churches in Revelation, talk about seven churches in Asia. It's not talking about Asia like the Far East Asia, so my Asia Minor, the place they know today as Turkey, right? But the Roman church is the church of Pergamon, where Satan's seat is. Look it up in Revelation. The Protestant church is the church of Sardis, who Jah says their works were not full. It was not full. It like fell short. The Ethiopian, the true church of Ethiopia, and the sister churches are the one that is called Philadelphia, the church of he who has the key of great King David, his majesty's church. Now, the churches that follow the Gregorian calendar, they celebrate the feast yearly, right, on the 14th of September. So other ones, they celebrated what we celebrate and I celebrate at this time a couple of days ago on the 14th. The feast in Ethiopia is held in a place called Mezcal Adebabai. Mezcal, cross Adebabai Square. Mezcal Square. It's named after the feast, the festival, in the capital of Addis Abeba. Abeba. Ababa is a way of saying daddy. Abeba is flower. Religious and civil leaders preside over the celebration, the celebration, and public figures give speeches and reference biblical themes and other stories and narratives. Many Ethiopians who live in cities return to their villages to celebrate the national event. When it gets darker, like at night, there is what's known as the Demara. The Demara. The Demara, for lack of a better word, is like the Ethiopian, the ancient bonfire. The Demara is burnt. Overview of Mezcal. The Mezcal celebration, it includes the burning of a large bonfire, or Demara. Now, this is based on the belief and the faith that Queen Eleni, as she was known, Eleni, had a revelation in a dream. She was told that she should make a bonfire and that the smoke would show her where the true cross was buried. Let's touch on cross for a moment, because people have these ideas of cross and Thank you, International Chaplain Rashi Moore. We had this reason, man, and Jai's bringing all this to mind right here, that the cross, you see these pictures, right? These icons and pictures, and they show like one they call Jesus carrying a cross that looked like an X. That's not the cross, right? Yeshua was not crucified on a cross, not a cross like that. Yeshua was crucified across a tree. Again, Yeshua was not crucified on a cross like they show you in some of these latter-day icons, but he was crucified across a tree. The cross that he carried was a beam, a cross beam of wood, a straight beam of wood, which was nailed to a tree in a prominent place in that area at that time. This is why people get confused when they say, well, it says cross here, and then over here it says he was crucified on a tree. No, he carried a long beam of wood. Have you ever carried or tried to pick up a long beam of wood? It's very heavy. It's good for weightlifting, but it's not an easy thing, a long beam of wood. Now, imagine after being beat and whipped and lashed and everything, carrying that, right? This is what he carried, a long beam of wood. And then when they brought him to the spot, there was a prominent tree there, and then he was crucified across a tree. Across a tree. This now explains why in the older, the truer churches, their ceremonial crosses look like a tree, even a little bit Kabbalistically, like a tree that is budding, you know what I mean, on that level right there with the ceremonial designs and so forth and so on. But let's go forward. So she, Queen Eleni, she ordered that the people of Jerusalem, of Jerusalem, to bring wood and make a huge pile. After adding frankincense, Libona, to it, the bonfire was lit, and smoke rose high up into the sky and returned to the ground, exactly to the spot where the cross beam of wood that Yeshua is said to have carried, had been buried. Now, according to different local traditions, this demerah, the bonfire procession, it takes place in the early evening, the day before Meskel, or sometimes on the day itself. See, the day before the holy day is like from the Hebrew way, Judeo-Christian speaking, according to that template. That's why when the Sabbath, it begins on the Friday evening, right? It's at evening, the evening before, because evening and morning is one day, right? So the evening before the 12 hours of the day to come. The firewood is decorated according to the Ethiopian tradition, right? The Highland tradition, with daisies prior to the celebration. Charcoal from the remains of the fire afterwards collected and used by the faithful to mark their foreheads with the shape of a cross. Now, the next thing about the cross that is like a plus sign, there's a cross that's like the X, like the Hebrew letter tau, like the te in teferi. If you look at the Ethiopic alphabet, look for the te as in teferi, and that's the same cross. It's basically a plus sign. It's equal on all sides. Not the Roman cross that looks like a sword, but it's equal on all sides. So to make that cross on the foreheads for what is similar to, in some sense, but it's from the original pattern of Ash Wednesday. Now, one of the historians who His Majesty had to translate in English, his autobiography, Book One, his name, Edward Uhlendorf, he records a number of beliefs of the meaning of Demerah, with some believing that it, quote, marks the ultimate act in the cancellation of sins, while others hold that the direction of the smoke and the final collapse of the heat indicate the course of future events. Just as, get this, just as the cloud of smoke Jehovah Adonai raised over the tabernacle offered guidance to the Bnei Yisrael, to the children of Israel, Yisrael Lijoch, in Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 to 38. One explanation for the high rank that this feast and festival has in the church calendar is that it is believed that a part of the true cross has been brought to Ethiopia from Egypt. It is said to be kept in a place called Amba Geshen, that itself has a cross shape plan, even like we have like with Lalibela and St. George, that cross. You see how that church is like the plus sign. That's the true shape of the cross. That's the true shape of the Hebrew letter Tau. And if you look into Ezekiel, it says that in Ezekiel, it says put a mark on the forehead. Let's get this right here, so that ones can do their own research, right? Accept what I'm saying as true, but verify it for yourself. Here in Ezekiel, let's go to Ezekiel for a moment, just to show this symbol, this shape of the cross, right? So there's the cross, the wood, the cross beam, and then there is the cross, right, in the sense of the letter Tau, the letter Tauway, right, which has the shape of a plus sign, right? Here. In Ezekiel chapter 9, this is the vision of the slaying in Jerusalem. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, like Yom Teruah, the trumpet, the shout, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. It's interesting, sometimes we see in some of the historical, and even today, sometimes when they are carrying the ark, even processionally, there are men, right, who are carrying weapons as they carry the ark, a very Israelite pattern. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate. This is Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 2, that lieth toward the north. And every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them clothed with linen. When I read this, I see his majesty in the white linen garments, with a writer's ink horn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar, the altar, the hakafot, circling the altar, the brazen altar. Verse 3, and the glory of Elohei Yisrael, the Elohim of Israel, was gone up from the kiru, from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house, to the gateway. And he called to the man clothed with linen that had the writer's ink horn by his side. Verse 4. Here we come to, and Jehovah, Yahweh, he who be, we be, Exiav, he has said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark. This word mark here in the Hebrew is tau. Some modern Hebrew speakers will say tav. It's a tau, right? Look just like the plus sign, or like the plus sign upright, or on the side like an X, right? Like an X. It says, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof, or that be done in the midst of her, even the holy city. Here's what's interesting, brothers and sisters, in the connection of the bonfire and even the Ash Wednesday and that X, that cross on the foreheads. Because here in Ezekiel, Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4, it says that Jehovah said to him, to the man clothed in the white linen with the writer's ink horn by his side, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark, the cross, the Hebrew cross, the Tau, upon the foreheads of the men, that sigh and that cry, that sigh and that shout out. Why? For all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Interesting how in this season it's in the theme of the Yom Teruah, lifting up one's voice, right, as that trumpet, right? Verse 5, and to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye, go y'all after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spear, neither have ye pity. Verse 6, slay utterly, it says old and young, both maids and little children and women. But get this, check this, with the real meaning of the Tau, the real meaning of the cross, Hebraically. We're in Old Testament here. It's talking about the same symbol, but in the right order. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, is the Tau, upon any man who has the mark of the cross on his forehead, his frontal lobe, and begin at my sanctuary. And then it says right here, 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 then they began at the ancient men that were before the house. Why they began at the ancient men? Because many of the elders, you know, fell off, and therefore the youths fell off. But it was a responsibility of the elders to teach the youths the truth. So we continue right here. So that's the Hebrew connection of the Tau, the same symbol, like the right symbol, you know, was the true cross, like that looked like an X. If you look at the old Hebrew, the Paleo Hebrew, look for the Paleo Hebrew T. It's written in two ways, one as a plus sign and other on the side as an X. According to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, the discovery of the true cross is traditionally believed to have been in March. But Meskel, some say, was moved to September to avoid holding a festival during Lent. And because the church commemorating the true cross in Jerusalem was levitated during September. How interesting, with tabernacles and the church, tabernacle, church. Uhlendorf, he speculates that Meskel replaced an older festival, they say, with pagan and Hebraic association. Let's just correct this word pagan quickly. The word pagan does not have the same true meaning as heathen or nations. Pagan means countryside. Urban means a city. If you live in the city, you're urban. If you live in the country, you're pagan. It does not say what you do. You might be worshiping the true God in the country. So you're in the country, you're in the pagan, you're a pagan, but you worship the true God. Or you are in the country, you're a pagan, and you worship in spooks and whatever, false gods. Just to make that point right there, because a lot of people try to, pagan doesn't appear in the Bible. Anyway, the term is heathen, other nations, right? Other nations, foreign gods. But here they say with pagan and Hebraic association. That means with old country beliefs. They were faithful people who lived in the countryside, right? Right? And there were some unfaithful people who lived in the city. Remember Ezekiel right there? He said, go to the city, not the countryside. Pagan, countryside, and Hebraic association that he believes received its Christian sanction around the reign of Emperor Amda Tsion, the Pillar of Zion. In the 14th century, quote, the most ancient meaning of these feasts, as was also the case in Israel. Again, he writes, the most ancient meaning of these feasts, as was also the case in Israel, was no doubt seasonal. The month of Meskerem, it marked the end of the rains. the resumption of work and the reopening of communications. This is how this basic general write-up right here, is looking at the time right here. Now we're going to quickly just segue just a couple of highlights from the Kibra Nagas. The Kibra Nagas, as some say, the Kibra Nagas, the glory of the kings. We're going from Budge version, because Budge did receive a Star of Ethiopia from Menelik II, third class, right? You know, there was two other people that received, you know, a Star of Ethiopia, right, for the work that was done. So right here, let's go to chapter 100 and, well, no, actually chapter 93 on page 163. This chapter explains how the men of Rome destroyed the faith. Now, when I mention this right here, how the men of Rome destroyed the faith, let me just put this into context. You heard about Jacob and Esau? They were what? Brothers. According to the Kibra Nagas, Rome and Ethiopia, they were what? Brothers. I decided to just make that, you know, make that mention, you know, make that mention. Now, Eleni was the mother of Constantine. Constantine did not rule in Rome, Italy. Constantine ruled in Byzantium, that was called the Second Rome in Asia Minor. Asia Minor is the same region that we had the seven churches in Asia, according to John's, the book of Revelation, of John the Divine. So here. This is why when you read in the Kibra Nagas, it'll talk about the kings of Ethiopia and the king of Rome. They were brothers. But then later on, the king of Rome destroyed the faith. It's like Jacob and Esau was brothers. So in this case, the kings of Ethiopia, Jacobite, black Jacobite, and the kings of Rome, Esau. How the men of Rome destroyed the faith. And after they had waited 3 months, now Zion came into the country of Ethiopia at the beginning of the first month in the language of the Hebrews. We're reading from chapter 93 of the Kibra Nagas, Budge's version, Budge's translation. And in the Greek, right, Tarmon, and in the Guz, Ethiopic, Miyazia. And on the sixth or seventh day, they wrote down the law and the names. And they deposited the writing for a memorial for the latter days, for days like these, especially the latter days of the Gentiles, the nation states, so that what was right should be done for the pavilion. Remember the word pavilion in Psalm 27, verse 5? That word for pavilion is sukkah. Sukkah is a singular of Sukkot. So if Sukkot means tabernacles or huts, pavilions, then the singular. So the pavilion, the sukkah of Zion, the hut of Zion. Because when David brought the ark, he placed it in a tent in a sukkah thereby. And so that the glory of the kings of Ethiopia and the glory of the kings of Rome might be well known. For the kings of Ethiopia and the kings of Rome were brethren and held the Christian hymenote, the true Christian faith. Now, first of all, they believed in an orthodox manner. Ortho, right, doxa, praise, orthodox, right praise, right thinking manner. In the preaching of the apostles up to the time of Constantine and Helena, the queen, who brought forth the wood of the cross. And they, the kings of Rome, continued to believe for 130 years. We can, based on this, we can say at the time of Helene, at the time of Constantine, her son, the kings of Rome continued in the true faith and the right faith, even in Byzantium, the second Rome, for, according to the Kibra Nagas, 130 years. So now we know that the kings of Rome and Rome fell off, but Ethiopia maintained and the sister churches maintained. So it could not have been Constantine that went off. His mother was Eleni. Do you think Constantine lived for 130 years? Prove it. And afterwards, so after the time of Eleni and her son Constantine, 120 years later, afterward, Ha-Satan, Satan, who has been the enemy of man from of old, rose up and seduced the people of the country of Rome, of Rome, and they corrupted the faith of Christ, of the Messiah, and they introduced heresy into the church of God by the mouth of Nestorius. How come they don't talk about Nestorius in their videos where they talk about Constantine did this and this and this? And Nestorius and Arius, who was also called Arian, and Yabaso were those into whose hearts he cast the same jealousy as he had cast into the heart of Cain to slay his brother Abel. Because Rome, Italy, they were Christian, right? So what in the world was a Christian country invading another Christian country? Oh, that's that Cain and Abel. Oh, okay. In like manner did their father, Diabolos, the devil, the enemy of righteousness, and the hater of good, cast jealousy. Even as David, as David saith, they speak violence in the heights of heaven and set their mouths in the heavens and their tongue waggeth on the earth. Here, Psalm LXXIII 8 and 9, or Psalm 73, Psalm 73 verses 8 and 9. And those same men who know not whence they came and know not whither, where they are going, they revile their creator, the blameless Ireta, with their tongues. Talk about some emanation. Man was made in the image, not created in the image after likeness. He wasn't emanated. They revile their creator with their tongues and blaspheme his glory. While he is God, the word of the Lord, he came down from the throne of his Godhead, his divinity, and put on the body of Adam. And he is God, the word. And in that body he was crucified so that he might redeem Adam in his iniquity. And he went up into the heavens and sat upon the throne of his Godhead, of his divinity, in that body which he had taken. And he shall come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and shall reward every man according to his work forever and ever. Amen. And we believe, thus, like this, and we adore Kedush Selassie, the Holy Trinity, HaShalosh HaKadosh. And those who do not believe, thus, like this, are excommunicated. Why are you going to communicate to them anyway? By the word of Xavier, the sustainer, and by the word of Xavier, the sustainer, they are excommunicated. The king of heaven and earth, both in this world and in that world which is to come. And we are strong in the orthodox, the true faith, that the fathers, the apostles, have delivered to us, the I, the hymenal, the true faith, the living faith of the church. And thus, Ethiopia continued to abide in her faith until the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ, Getachin Jesus Christos, to whom be glory forever and ever. Just that part right there, brothers and sisters, right there, there, there. There's another part right here just concerning this right here. It's chapter 113. So we have Eleni, Helena. We have her son Constantine. So think about what they're saying. They're saying that Constantine out there in the conspiracy theory world is not the Constantine recorded in the Covenant of Guests or in the true church. Here in chapter 113, concerning the chariot and the vanquisher of the enemy, and the archbishop or patriarchs, he answered and said to Gregory, the worker of wonders, behold now, we know well, and thou hast made I to understand that the kings of Ethiopia have become glorious and great through Zion, and the kings of Rome also have become great because of the nails of the cross that Eleni made into a bridle that hath become the vanquisher of the enemy for the king of Rome. And the chariot, interesting, the chariot also is the Merkaba, and the chariot belongeth to the king of Ethiopia, and it hath vanquished his enemy. And tell us also how long the vanquisher of the enemy shall remain with the king of Rome, and the chariot containing Zion with the king of Ethiopia. Tell us, for Exavia the sustainer hath revealed to the eye what has been and what shall be, vision and prophecy, like Moshe and Eliyahu, like Moses and Elijah. And Gregory answered and said to them, I will reveal to you concerning the king of Rome when he shall transgress and shall provoke Exavihir, shall provoke Hailehim, the power, to wrath in the face. This face that we have ordered and laid down shall a king transgress, who shall come in Rome. And there shall be associated with him a certain archbishop, and they shall change and pervert the word of the 12 apostles, and they shall cast it aside in the desire of their hearts, and they shall teach what they wish, and they shall turn the scriptures to suit their own nature, even as the apostle saith, quote, they have behaved themselves like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here, this is pointing to Matthew chapter 10, verse 15. And our Lord, Gitachin Adonenu, the Grand Master, said to his disciples in the gospel, guard ye all yourselves against those who shall come to you in the gospel, in the speaker. Guard ye yourselves against those who shall come to you in the apparel of sheep and who are inwardly wolves that tear. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And when they have destroyed the faith, the hymenote, the true faith, the vanquisher of the enemy shall be taken away from them. And there shall be none of those who have changed our faith who shall sit upon the throne of Peter. And the bowels of their archbishops shall be emptied out if they have taken their seat upon it in perverted faith. For the angel of Exavia, the angel of the true good, the true God, hath been commanded to protect the throne of Peter in Rome. And Exavia, the sustainer, shall take away the vanquisher of the enemy from the king who shall not guard the faith. And the Persians shall make war upon him. The little note right here, the Persians, modern-day Persia, is Iran. Now you know why Iran is in the news so much, why they hate upon Iran so much. This is from Daniel's prophecy. It's the end of their matrix. And the Persians shall make war upon him and defeat him. And it seemeth to me that his name is Marcion, the apostate. And the king of Persia, whose name is Harineros, Arrhenius, shall conquer him, and the king shall carry him away together with his house, and by the will of God, the horse on which is the vanquisher of the enemy. Remember, the vanquisher of the enemy is the bridle for the horse taken from the nails of the cross, shall be stirred up and shall go into the sea and perish therein. But the nails shall shine there in the sea until Christ the Messiah shall come again in great glory upon a cloud of heaven together with chayil, together with power. Now this hath Xavier, the true God, showed me in the pit. And as concerning the king of Ethiopia and Zion, the bride of heaven and her chariot, her Merkabah, whereby they move, I will declare to you that which Elohai, Haliyai, my God, my power, Amlakiye, hath revealed to me and hath made me to understand. Ethiopia shall continue in the Orthodox faith until the coming of Getachin, until the coming of our Lord. I just put a little note here, until the second coming. Is that what explains what happened in 1974-75, Ethiopia? Once again, Ethiopia shall continue in the Orthodox faith, the true faith, until the coming of our Lord. And she shall in no way turn aside from the word of the apostles. And it shall be so even as we have ordered until the end of the world. And one answered and said to the worker of wonders, to Gregory, now when Samaliah cometh, who is the false Christ, Antichrist, will the faith of the people of Ethiopia be destroyed by his attack? And Gregory answered and said, assuredly not. Hath not David prophesied, saying, Ethiopia shall make her hands come to God? And here, you done know, Psalm 68. All right, Psalm 68, verse 31. Psalm 68, verse 31. You know the verse, right? You know the verse? Well, hear the verse right here on the ear.
Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God.
Boom.
Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
And this that he saith meaneth that the Ethiopians will neither pervert nor change this our faith and what we have ordered and the faith of those who were before us, before I and I, the teachers of the law of the apostles.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me? O children of Israel, O children of Israel, are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians? Children of the Ethiopians, are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me? O children of Israel, children of Israel, saith the Lord.
Yes, I. Let's take a little Selah here with the Ethiopians, conquering lion of Judah.
Propaganda, it only make high man, oh and conquer. The conquering lion of Judah. He is the healer of God, and you can't conquer. The conquering lion of Judah. I say, yeah. What a war.
Chapter 7 and 8, which also occurred on that great day that correspond right here in the season of the Meskel and also the Hoshana Rabbah. But first this, Psalm 3.
Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah, 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 Selah.
Let the message shut up. King of all kings, Lord of all lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, elect of himself, mighty and the rebel exhibit, massacre on Yahweh, the goose and the gods, let Jah be praised.
In Ethiopian life, the imperial ruler is likened in splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, an exalted power to the lion, to the lion, to the lion, to the lion, in his divine being to the kings of Israel, divine being to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, and at times to God, and at times to God, and at times to God himself, 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 himself.
The Ark of Covenant is supposedly somewhere in Ethiopia. That's why we went into Somalia, because Ethiopia is next door to Somalia. For all you folks who don't know this, 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 who don't know this.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
So hear, the great day, the reading of the great day, give thanks, stretching forth the right hand of fellowship, tying that fellow haber, right here, for this reading right here. Here we have John 7 and 8, give thanks.
John, chapter 7, Yeshua urged to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. After these things, Yeshua walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said to him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, shew thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Yeshua said to them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up to this feast. I go not up yet to this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words to them, he abode still in Galilee. Final departure from Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up to the feast, not openly, but as if it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Yeshua at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now about the midst of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learnt? Yeshua answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of Elohim or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goest about to kill thee? Yeshua answered and said to them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave to you circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Yeshua in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed in him, and said, When Messiah cometh, will he do more miracles than these that this man has done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Yeshua to them, Yet a little while, and I am with you, and then I go to him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? The great prophecy concerning the Holy Spirit for power. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, that they that believe in him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Yeshua was not yet glorified. The people divided in opinion. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to him, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith to them, He that came to Yeshua by night being one of them, Does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said to him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. And every man went to his own house. John chapter 8. The woman taken in adultery. Yeshua went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Yeshua stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. But when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they that heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Yeshua was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Yeshua had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are thy accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Adonai. And Yeshua said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Discourse after the feast. Yeshua, the light of the world. Then spake Yeshua again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Yeshua answered and said to them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they to him, Where is thy father? Yeshua answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." These words spake Yeshua in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and his hour was not yet come. Then said Yeshua again to them, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come." And he said to them, "Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore to you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Then said they to him, "Who art thou?" And Yeshua saith to them, "Even the same that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things that I have heard of him." They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Yeshua to them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." As he spake these words, many believed in him. Then said Yeshua to those Jews that believed in him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make ye free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Yeshua answered them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak that I have seen with my Father, and ye do that ye have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Yeshua said to them, "If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, that I have heard of Elohim. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even Elohim." Yeshua said to them, "If Elohim were your father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and came from Elohim. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Who of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of Elohim heareth Elohim's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of Elohim." Then answered the Jews and said to him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil?" Yeshua answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews to him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, whom is dead, and the prophets are dead, and whom makest thou thyself?" Yeshua answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your Elohim. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like to you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews to him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Yeshua said to them, Verily, verily, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Yeshua hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
Shall break every chain. The Lion of Judah shall break every chain. Lion of Judah shall break every chain.
Write my name.